This is Dr. Ivan Wilson of The Dr. Ivan Show. I am a clinician with over 20 years of clinical experience. I help people work through many types of relationship and adjustment-related issues. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. Your aging parent is likely not as resilient as you would like to think they are. You must help them understand the importance of taking the necessary precautions to avoid unnecessary injuries. My wife has a first cousin who is much older than her. He works out regularly, he works full-time at his own professional practice, and travels a lot. He spends a good deal of time with his grandchildren, which is understandably among his greatest joys. His relatively youthful appearance would leave anyone to conclude that he is a far younger grandpa than he truly is. One might assume that he was only about 55 years old at most, just by looking at him. However, he's actually 71. I know I was shocked to learn this as well. I've known him for about 12 years now, and I would have never guessed that to be his age. The next erroneous assumption that people tend to make is that a person's functional age is more closely related to their appearance than the chronological age that is theirs. Don't most people subscribe to the saying, "You're only about as old as you feel"? Well, this all-too-common life practice has met with disastrous consequences for my wife's cousin. While watching one of his grandsons for his daughter, my wife's cousin decided to go to the gym and play a competitive game of basketball with his grandson. During the game, my wife's 71-year-old cousin tripped and fell onto the hardwood court floor. Usually, this would be no problem, right? It happens all the time with children on the playground or in organized high school and college basketball leagues, not to mention the pros. When this happens, one just pops himself back up, dusts himself off, and is ready to return to the game. As you might have guessed by now, this was not at all the case for my wife's cousin. Rather, he happened to fall on his hip. And he did not only break his hip, he shattered it. The pain was excruciating, he reports. He was rushed to the hospital, where he ultimately had to undergo emergency surgery. And to make matters worse, 2 weeks later, following this major surgery, it was determined that he was not healing correctly. He then had to have another major surgery in effort to repair the damage. That despite being in a great deal of pain, and having gone through two major procedures, it is not yet known how fully he will heal and what level of disability he may be left with for the remainder of his life. The point here is that as we age, our bodies break down in strength, ability, and resilience. We are not as coordinated, agile, or strong as we had previously been, or like to believe we are. And because we are such youth-focused in our society, and we are bombarded with messages throughout our life of staying young and active, which in general is really good advice, the sheer magnitude of this message, I fear, greatly contributes to many seniors pushing the limits of their true abilities and not respecting their age-related limitations or declines. This can result in not taking the necessary precautions to avoid injury. The other issue at play here is that most people I know at any age distort their perceptions to some extent. It's just what we do. And that's especially present when it comes to assessing our own abilities. It is a part of the process of wishful thinking, or the mindset of merely thinking something will contribute, will make it happen. Thinking it makes it so many people say. As social beings, we need input from others. We rely heavily upon it. In fact, the only way that we can come anywhere close to a reality-based perspective with regard to anything in life, especially our own true abilities, is to have the benefit of the opinions and observations of honest and unbiased, trusted others. And then we have the responsibility ourselves of being open-minded, fully receptive to this valuable resource of other relevant information. Now, I'm not saying that anyone should necessarily blindly accept the opinion of another, especially with information about oneself, because you are absolutely the expert of yourself. But rather, I'm suggesting one must seriously consider the impressions of others and factor that into the larger equation. Couple this with your own honest appraisal of your true current, keyword current, not past, abilities. Now, this is where you come in. As adult children of aging parents, you must be respectful, but also honest with your aging parents. You have the responsibility of being another pair of eyes and ears for your parents, as they had been for you when you were too young to fully understand all that you needed to know to keep yourself safe. You must help them actively appraise and objectively understand what they are truly capable of, doing safely and performing well. This will require you to be present more, to observe what they do, not what they claim to be able to do. Observe their true abilities, rather than to speculate on this. This is far too important an issue to just guess at. It will also require you to take a difficult stand at times and respectfully disagree with your parents' more optimistic and favorable self-view of what they may wish to believe about their capabilities, when this, in fact, as it often does, departs from reality. Over the years, I've witnessed many good-intentioned people who have neglected to intervene on their parents' behalf, solely for the fear of upsetting their parents and having to tell them something that their parents may not have wanted to hear. Make no mistake about it. When you fail to act on sharing essential insights with your parents, which could potentially help them prevent injury, despite your good intentions of not wanting to hurt their feelings, in my opinion, this constitutes neglect. Maybe not in the legal sense. However, it is a neglect in providing your parents with an essential, informed perspective, an incentive to view things more accurately, and in so doing, quite possibly, help them live more safely by choosing the activities and specific levels of participation more wisely. With respect to the story that I shared about my wife's first cousin's terrible injury that he suffered while playing basketball with his grandson, though I am stopping well short of blaming his adult children for this traumatic event, I will say that they could have been more involved in assessing the types of activities and levels of exertion that their parents would be putting forth. And they could have done this well in advance of having occurred. It would have required them to have some frank discussions about responsibility and scaling this back sometime. And it wouldn't have likely gone well. As I said, my wife's cousin is a very active person. But I'm confident, because of the loving nature of their relationship, he would have been, though not happy about the conversation, he would have been receptive. It might have just planted a seed. It might have just given him incentive to think a little more about scaling back just a bit and not acting like he was a 30-year-old on the basketball court with his 14-year-old grandson. The point here is not to play the blame game. I'm not saying it's your fault or his fault or her fault. What I am saying is show up, be present, be proactive. Take a look at these things and help your loved ones, especially your parents, more accurately appraise the decline in one's present level of ability. Because without that valuable insight, people tend to neglect what is uncomfortable to look at. Nobody wants to see themselves as being diminished in any way, shape, or form. Your aging parent is likely not as resilient as you would like to think. You must help them understand the importance of taking necessary precautions to avoid unnecessary injuries. That's what we're talking about today. Please stay tuned. We have a caller on the line that we'll get to at the very beginning of the next segment. Stay tuned. You listen to the Dr. Ivan Show. This is Dr. Ivan Wilson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. I'd like to welcome Missy to the show. Missy, welcome. Oh, okay. Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties. I think we lost the caller. Please call back if you can. For anybody else out there who has any questions or comments about this topic or any other thing that I might be able to be helpful with, please feel free to call the show. I'm happy to take your calls. You can call me at 866-606-8255. I've got time enough for one to two callers, but again, the number here, 866-606-8255. So we're talking today about how it is your responsibility to help your aging parent understand the natural decline that comes with aging and understand that it's not anything to feel ashamed about. It's not necessarily a negative thing. And I know your eyebrows might raise when you hear me say that, because I don't think that anybody would view this as a positive thing. But by my point in saying that it's not necessarily a negative thing is that I think it's all part of a larger aging process. And I think far too many of us haven't wrapped our mind around understanding that we're not supposed to work at the optimal level, function in the best way for all of our years. There's a time and a place for everything, and I think that so many of us don't do as good a job as perhaps we should in understanding some of the value and the lessons that can be learned in some of the later phases of life, when maybe we're not as vital and maybe we're not as able to rebound as quickly as we had. There are other purposes that can be perceived and achieved at that age. But the point here of today's show is to help your parents in understanding that their age-related decline is nothing to be ashamed of. And in fact, nothing to be ignored or avoided. It is so important to embrace this and understand that this is something that you can learn to accept. And you can learn to work more responsibly with. The point is that we don't want anybody to get hurt or injured or have major traumas when they're completely avoidable. You can help your parent do just this by being more available to them, being more cognizant, not falling prey to the all too common good intentioned objective of, I'll just intervene when it's required, or I'll wait for a personal invitation to have this difficult conversation with my parent. Well, as I said many times on the show, that invitation is not coming from your parent. They're not going to say, hey, please let me know if you think I'm not doing things as well as I used to. Or they're not going to say, boy, I'm really, really receptive to you helping me to limit my ability and limit my privileges because I know that I'm starting to age. It's just not coming. It doesn't happen that way. But for fear of hurting feelings, so many people fail themselves and their parent. They fail them by not having this all-too-important conversation with their parent. And I think do far more damage by not having it. Think for a moment of the potential benefit for my wife's cousin if His adult children sat him down a year ago, maybe on his 70th birthday, and said, "Hey, listen, Dad, we couldn't be more privileged to have you in our life and more proud of you and all that you've accomplished. We know that you were all in on taking care of the grandkids, watching them for us, playing with them. Your relationship with them is an essential part of their life and their development. We love everything that you are and everything that you do for them. However, we want to make sure that we keep you as safe and healthy and well as we work toward keeping our children." Imagine that for a moment. If you plant that seed and you let them know that it's not a criticism, it's not about saying, "Hey, you're old, you're washed up, you're no good anymore." It's quite the opposite. We value you so much that even if you're able to do a little less than you used to be able to do, it doesn't diminish the value whatsoever. In fact, it's a worthwhile trade-off. If you could frame it as such, if you can help people understand that less is more. "Dad, if you don't quite act like the 25-year-old on the basketball court with my son, I'd be more comfortable with that. I'm not worried about you teaching him all of the ins and outs of competitiveness. I'd rather you just be there to guide him with your wisdom and maybe take perimeter shots, but don't charge the net and don't go up for a layup and try to show him something that a 71-year-old shouldn't be trying to show him." I think it's really, really important to kind of figure out what's interfering with you being able to have these difficult conversations more comfortably with your parent, because that truly is the largest obstacle here. You may be telling yourself that, "Oh, my parent doesn't want to hear that. There's no way that would go well." And I'm not saying that they're going to love the conversation. They likely will have some level of resistance. But if you're like most other people I know, it's you that is the greatest obstacle. You are probably the one who is interfering most with being able to have this essential conversation. And the other thing that's really important here is that every person is different, right? I'm not saying by nature of a specific age, a person is a certain level of impaired. That's just not the case. Everybody is unique, and you have to assess and appraise everybody's individual abilities based on a case-by-case basis. But I think some general assumptions can be made. Some understandings that a 71-year-old is not like a 25-year-old. I think we can all agree with that. And the point here is that there is value in the 71-year-old being able to help in a way that perhaps only a 71-year-old can. I strongly suggest that you take some mental inventory of yourself and ask yourself, what is it that might be interfering with you having had this conversation with your aging parent? Ask yourself, what is it that I fear most? Is it hurting my parents' feelings? I would never suggest that you be disrespectful, and I know that's nobody's intention here. And you might need to think this through clearly so that you craft your message in such a way as to protect against being insulting or offensive. But as I had indicated earlier in my example, there are many ways to lovingly kind of acknowledge the contribution of your parent in your children's life and in your life. And you can use that as an inroad to kind of point out things maybe aren't exactly as they were with your ability. In fact, you can own it yourself and say, at my age, whatever that age may be, I'm no longer 20 years old. I know myself things that I'm not capable of doing. Well, such is the case with you, and you have to own that. In effort to be safe and be here for as long a possible time as at all possible for our family. Please stay tuned. You're listening to the Dr. Ivan Show. Feel free to call me at 866-606-8255 if you have a question or comment on this topic or any other that I might be able to be helpful with. Please stay tuned. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We are talking today about yet another way of showing up for your parents, and that is having the difficult conversations with your parents that they need you to have. They may not invite you to have them. They may not want you to have them, but they will benefit tremendously from you broaching the difficult topics with them. Again, let's face it, nobody wants to hear that they're declining. And it's a sobering and sombering kind of conversation. But if the point here is to help them kind of embrace the reality of the aging process and understand not to take unnecessary risks, and it can have the tremendous benefit of keeping them healthy and well and avoiding unnecessary accidents, don't you think that's a worthwhile conversation to have, despite the fact that it might be uncomfortable for 30 minutes or so? We have Daniel on the line. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Tell me, what's the reason for the call? We're glad to hear from you, but you must have something going on.
Yes, I had just received the message just a few minutes ago, and it was pertaining to Asian parents. And yes, I feel like we should be there for our parents basically when they're up in age due to the simple fact, like my mom, she deals with panic attacks and things of that nature, and also she deals with high blood pressure and high cholesterol as well. So basically I'm there to help her like stay calm, because when her panic attacks come, she'll have like rapid heartbeats where her heart palpitates, and it'll race up there to like 200 or what have you. So I had to help her with her breathing, and when she actually goes to the hospital, I have to be by her side and just tell her to stay calm and ask her to listen to some soothing music so she don't have to go there repetitiously.
You know, that sounds amazing. You are absolutely a wonderful son to be so supportive of your mother. And as you point out, I mean, whether it be panic attacks or anxiety or depression, I mean, these real issues affect people at every stage in a person's life. It happens with children. It happens with adolescents, adults, older adults. Nobody is immune. And the fact that you can be so supportive and knowledgeable and patient and just wonderful to help your mother through this is something that you should be truly proud of. Now, tell me a little bit of the history. Is this new to your mother, or has she kind of been kind of plagued with these issues for some time now?
Well, actually, this took place like at least 2 years ago because of her marriage. And due to her marriage and everything, she was overwhelmed because I think she was not working at the time. And then when she came back to Philadelphia, that's when we have a family house that's in Philadelphia, basically. And my aunt was talking about, this is my house. I can't wait till you all leave. So that caused my mom to get stressed out. And then my stepdad, he stopped doing that for like a couple of years. And it just caused my mom. It was just a lot of issues that was going on. So she didn't have no one to really converse with, because she really didn't want to bother us. And then we always told her, like, you can converse with us, basically.
But that's a great problem, right? It's a great point that I know a lot of our folks, I mean, they're parents first and foremost, and they're always thinking about kind of taking care of us and not burdening us. And though they're human too, right? We all have needs. Sometimes your parent won't ask for the help that they know they need because they don't want to be a burden on you. And it's for you to do just what you've done.
Right.
It's for all of us children to kind of be aware of how our loved ones are and initiate these conversations, not just wait for that personal invitation. But it sounds like you've really stepped up to the plate in supporting your mother, and you're to be commended for that. And let me ask you this. Do you reside with her? How close in proximity are you to kind of assessing the situation and intervening when need be?
Well, when I moved up back home in October the 22nd of 2014, that's when I was actually residing with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that my mom was actually enduring so much pain because of my stepdad, because how the way he was acting. He felt as though, I think it was more so like post-traumatic stress disorder, with him, and he don't have a great relationship with his kids nor his mother, and he didn't even know his mother had passed away ever since 2010. So
there's
he
a
was
ton
just
of issues
spewing
layering
out.
On one another. Yeah.
Yes, and then he was just spewing out his emotions toward my mom and treating her badly. So my mission was to make sure that my mom is treated well and make sure that she was calm and, you know, took her out to certain places. He wouldn't even do that, like take her out to certain places.
Right.
Travel.
So is he no longer in the
places.
Picture? Is he out of the picture?
He's still there. He's still there because my mom, I think she lost her job or what have you, and then her condition had came upon her because of she was overwhelmed with so much from my stepdad and my Aunt Rose, and it was just so much going on to where she didn't have an outlet. So it took control of her body, and then she can't work.
All right, so let me know what the physical
that.
Situation is now. Like, who does she live with? Who's in the household with her?
Yeah, she's still with my stepdad currently, but she was waiting for her SSN or whatever.
But it's just
I
the
mean,
two of them
SSI.
In the house, or what about the aunt's house? I mean, are they all in there together?
Well,
I
think like 4 years ago they left from there, and then my stepdad, he serves in the military, but unfortunately he don't want to use the GI loan so they can live in a better conditions. But currently, they stay in like the room and board, unfortunately. So I told me I have my own place. Like when I came up here, and well, actually November the 30th when I got my own, because I couldn't bear my stuff.
Do you
that,
have? Do you have
about.
Room?
Yeah.
Right. Do you have room enough in your place to bring mom in if she cared to join you? Or no?
Yes,
is there enough room for her?
Yes, but my mom, she always stays like, no, I don't want to be a burden. I tell her, she have a key to my place. I say, anytime you need to come over here just for relaxation, then you can just come here so you can ease your mind.
You know, it sounds nice, but again, you're basically kind of like working on the honor system, saying, hey, if you ever want to, my best guess, most parents, they're not going to take advantage of that unless it's like terrible, right? We're trying to help them be comfortable as a regular thing, not just intervene in crises. The other thing that seems at play here is that I can only assume that your mother is overwhelmed. I mean, I would be too if I had all those same things, you know, kind of coming on me simultaneously. She's got the panic, she's got the medical problems, she's got the problem with the spouse, she's got maybe family issues with her sister, the aunt. I mean, there's just so much going on, and then she's unemployed on top of that, so those financial issues, who wouldn't be overwhelmed by that? The point I'm driving here is that it is a perfect candidate for somebody to receive some professional help in developing better coping strategies and working these things through and learning how to problem solve in a more effective and efficient way. Do you think that she'd be receptive to maybe seeing a specialist, a psychologist, to kind of have a non-family objective resource to start tackling these problems once and for all?
And that's what I was going to mention next, is that after her conditions and everything, probably a year after, that's when she was basically going to a counselor, basically, and they've been helping her cope with her depression and her panic attacks as well, too.
Okay, so then she's already in professional treatment, and she is benefiting from that. I think that's huge, and I'm so glad that she found her way there. That's tremendously beneficial.
Right.
And then I'm wondering if there's anything that you can do to kind of be like an adjunct kind of member of this larger process of helping her heal. Do you think that she'd ever allow you to kind of join in on one of those sessions? I mean, I'm firmly of the belief that her treatment process has to be your own, and you don't want to hijack that. But if she invites you in periodically, then you might be able to offer some insights that she's not maybe sharing with the counselor. Because sometimes, you know, our loved ones, you know, have a different perspective, and it's valuable, and it's not like mom is lying to the counselor, but she just may view things through a different lens. If she's willing to let you kind of supplement the information that the counselor receives and is able to help her with, that might be another huge benefit in her treatment process. Is that something you think you might be willing to ask her if she would let you do for her?
Yes.
It's worth considering.
I wouldn't mind doing so.
Well, I would ask you to ask her. Don't wait for the invitation because I don't think she's going to just, initiate that. But I know we're running short on time. I truly appreciate the call. Thank you very much for sharing your story and for being such a good son. We need more people like you to show up for their parents as you have. Keep up the good work, partner.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Please stay tuned. You're listening to the Dr. Ivan Show. We'll be back in a few. This is Dr. Ivan Wilson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. Today, we're talking about your aging parent and how decline is a natural part of a larger life process and how they may be the least likely person to be aware of some of the more minor areas of decline that could be present. They have an invaluable resource, and that is family. Right? Family and friends and loved ones, anybody close to an aging person is a tremendously valuable resource that must be utilized. So by this, I mean you have a responsibility to share with them respectfully and kindly, but directly. Share with them your insights so that they can't deceive themselves, as we all do. It's not part of a psychotic process. It's a part of wishful thinking. It's a part of us all wanting to view ourselves as being far more capable than we tend to be. Understanding that there is no shame in the decline that naturally comes from the aging process. It's something that I think few people manage well. It's not something that people embrace and understand in a way that tends to be comfortable. I think a lot of people are avoiding kind of dealing with this and looking anywhere but at the objective reality. And so then left to their own devices, if you wait for a person to kind of get it on their own, it should be no mystery to you that they typically just don't get there themselves. Another all too common situation I find is when an aging parent or person has declined in their ability to drive safely. Think about it. Driving is more than a privilege, right? It becomes almost like a right that we fiercely guard and protect against losing. It is what gives us independence, especially when we live in an area that you need transportation to get to and from the store or to activities. But driving isn't a right. It is truly a privilege. It's not a privilege that you want to take away from somebody like you might a child who's misbehaving. It's a privilege in another sense of the word. It's a privilege that requires one to have the ability, cognitive, physical, the ability to drive well, to drive safely for your own well-being as well as that of all the other drivers on the road. It's something that you don't need to be severely disabled with in order to no longer do well. Specifically, a person's inability to see well, hear well, have good coordination, have good depth perception or response time, even memory for rules of the road or directions, kind of knowing where they're going. All of these things need to be in good order in order for a person to drive well. And I see so often people who have started to decline in that ability. And they're kids, they're adult kids, they know it, they see it, they get it. But they absolutely don't want the burden of responsibility of having that difficult conversation with their parent to say, hey, listen, mom, dad, I've driven with you. It's just not safe. It's no disrespect to you whatsoever, and it's not a criticism of you, the person, but there's a very, very finite skill set that goes along with being able to do this safely and no fault of your own. It's just not there as it was. And say something like, I care far more about you and keeping you here and keeping you safe than I care about the privilege of you driving. I know it might be inconvenient to consider giving that up, but I'll tell you what, it's not worth the risk, not only to yourself, but to everybody else on the road. How many of you need to have that conversation? Be honest with yourself and have failed to do so. In all the people that I've worked with, it's the rare individual who initiates that themselves. It's the rare individual who says, hey, listen, I noticed myself that I'm not able to navigate the road as I used to. And I'm going to elect to forfeit my driving privilege before I end up putting myself or anybody else at risk. That typically just doesn't happen. What's more common is it typically requires a caring family member or a physician to broach this difficult topic and respectfully press the issue before the failure to address this problem results in a loved one getting into an accident or being forced to surrender the driving privilege. It's yet another perfect built-in example of age-related decline and responsibility to help people see when they're no longer doing well what they used to do. And helping people kind of wrap their minds around it, their arms around the reality of this not being anything that diminishes their value as a human being. That's the point here. Too many people are too caught up in what I do or how I look to this person or that person is a big part of my value as a human being, and it's just not so. So I strongly suggest that you do some soul searching for yourself and ask yourself how you can develop the courage to be able to have these difficult conversations with your parent, and not only when the time arises for change to occur, for them to slow down a little bit or for them to surrender their driving privileges, but I would say be proactive. Have these conversations well before that person needs to surrender anything so that it's not such a threat to them. You could say, hey, mom, dad, I want to know that you will support me bringing these things up to you and having fruitful conversations when the time arises, and get some kind of verbal contract, some agreement in doing so, so that when that time does come, it's not the initial entree into this difficult topic. It's tough stuff, believe me, and I'm not suggesting that it's anything that anybody will enjoy, but it is something that is yet another essential part of doing right by your parents, protecting them, being another voice of reason, and another part of the information of their true ability that they can factor into making the larger necessary life decisions that will keep them safe and them in your life for many years to come. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next April 25th at 11 a.m. Please stay tuned, and in the process between now and next time, take good care of yourself and take good care of your parents. It's truly a privilege that we have. Be well. This life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
Yeah, what you need.
I'll need a credit card.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.